Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Hope comes only when we walk through two little things. And they're simple things, but I'll tell you, it'll set anybody free when you walk through them. First thing, you have to be honest to understand your life is spinning out of control. There's nothing you can do about it. I am hopeless. I am helpless. But there is hope. There is a God who can restore me to sanity. But you have to be honest and you have to be humble.
Is there anything holding you back in life? Do you have an old habit you just can't break? Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young and Wayne Shepherd. This week, we're in a series of messages Dr. Young calls 12 Steps to Freedom. Yesterday, we looked at step one, admitting our helplessness and placing our problem in God's hands. Today, Dr. Young helps us discover where to go from there, and we see the hope that is in store as we admit our helplessness. Proven truth about breaking destructive habits is coming up next on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young after this break. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before we join Dr. Young, I want to let you know that we have a very special gift to send you. It's a special combo pack with a CD featuring his message from today and his powerful booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life. These resources are our gift to you when you share a donation to help The Winning Walk stay strong and broadcast the proven truth of God's Word on this station. So please request your resource pack when you call with your gift today. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Now let's listen to proven truth about breaking destructive habits.
The first step is a step of hopelessness. It says that for someone to come out of that addictive, that abusive lifestyle in whatever form it might take, the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous, Emotions Anonymous, Bulimic Anonymous, Anorexia Anonymous, Sexual Addiction Anonymous, Workaholic Anonymous, whatever you put out there, the first step is a step of hopelessness. In other words, you have to come to the position that you really believe, without any question, that my life is unmanageable and I can't do anything about it myself. In other words, you have to come to the belief that my life is spinning out of control and I can't do anything about it myself. Hopelessness. Let me tell you something. We're going to study all 12 of these steps, but the most important step is that first step. Unless a man or a woman or a single adult, a teenager, comes to realize that they are hopeless and helpless, the rest of the steps will do you no good. That's the reason in an AA meeting, somebody stands up and says, "My name is Edwin. I am an alcoholic," or "I am whatever." You don't say, "My name is Edwin, and sometimes I drink too much," or "My name is Edwin, and sometimes, you know, I get off with the guys." You just say, "My name is Edwin. I'm an alcoholic." You have to come to the point of hopelessness. You have to bottom out saying, "I'm spinning out of control in this area of my life, and there's nothing I can do about it." Unless you take that step perfectly, listen to me, perfectly, forget the other 11 steps, okay? But the second step is a step of hope. It simply says that I am helpless, I am hopeless, but I have hope because I believe there is a God, and we believe in Jesus Christ, who loves me and cares for me and wants to bring me out of my insanity. Oh, wait a minute, you said. Hold on. Time out. Did you say insanity? That's what I said. Insanity. The second step, as you realize that you are hopeless, is to believe that God cares and God can bring you back to sanity. He said, "Now, wait a minute. I am not insane. I've got this problem over here, and I've got this situation over here, and I've got this inconsistency over here, but I can tell you, I am not insane." I mean, there are two kinds of insanity. There's socially unacceptable insanity. Somebody who's a murderer, somebody who's a rapist, somebody who is a sadist, somebody who is masochistic, somebody who thinks they're Julius Caesar, somebody, all kinds. There are kinds of insanity that must be treated, or individuals must be institutionalized. There's insanity that is socially unacceptable, okay? But also, there is a kind of insanity that many here are afflicted with that is socially acceptable. It doesn't mean that in every area of your life that you're crazy, excuse the vernacular, but it means in this area of your life that you are dysfunctional and you are insane. Now, we need a definition for insanity, right? A socially acceptable kind of insanity. Let me give you this definition. If you keep doing the same thing the same way and expect different results. What is that? You do the same thing the same way and you're expecting different results. Well, that's somebody who is insane, right? You do the same thing the same way and you expect different results. Hey, that's crazy. Let me illustrate this. You go to work in an office building. Your office is on the 12th floor. Every morning you get up, get in your car, drive to work, you park it, and you mash the 10th floor button, and you go up to the 10th floor. You say, my office is on the 12th floor. The next day you do the same thing. Get up, get in your car, go down, park, go up, mash the button. Office on the 12th floor, you know it, but you mash the 10th floor button. You go to the 10th floor, you say, oh, I'm missing by two floors again. And you do that day after day after day after day after day after day. What do you call that? I said, stupid. No, it's insanity. You do the same thing the same way and you expect different results. And to compound this a little bit, you do the same thing the same way and you expect different results. And in the process, there are broken relationships and a part of your life is broken up. There are destroyed relationships, and a part of your life is destroyed, and you keep down that path, your life will be destroyed because of that 5, 10, 15% of insanity that takes place. Do the same thing the same way, expecting different results. In the process, you destroy relationships, and you destroy your life bit by bit by bit. To show you how this works, here's somebody who goes out and they take some orange juice and some vodka, and they mix it together, and they drink a bunch of it. They get sick. They throw up. They go to sleep. They wake up the next morning with a splitting headache, and they say, oh, it must be the orange juice. So they go to grapefruit juice, and they go to grape juice, and do the same thing the same way, and you expect different results. And in the process, it's destroying relationships and destroying a part of you. It's insanity. And the second step says, we have hope. Hope comes only when we walk through two little things. And they're simple things, but I'll tell you, it'll set anybody free when you walk through them. First thing, you have to be honest. Oh, I'm very honest. Are you honest? You really honest? You have to be honest to understand your life is spinning out of control. There's nothing you can do about it. I am hopeless. I am helpless. But there is hope. There is a God who can restore me to sanity. But you have to be honest and you have to be humble. Humble enough to cry out for help and to turn over the control of your life to Almighty God.
You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Be sure to visit our website for more powerful resources to strengthen your walk with Christ. You can order CDs or DVDs, find free streaming messages, or even submit a prayer request. Go to winningwalk.org today to discover what's waiting there for you. That's winningwalk.org. At the website, you can sign up for Dr. Young's free email devotional, and you can follow us on Twitter at Winning Walk. Now, a look at proven truth about breaking destructive habits.
He tells a story in the Ragamuffin Gospel. And by the way, his thesis is that the only way anybody can be healed and helped in any area of addiction is to admit up front that you are a ragamuffin. If we take all of our arrogance and our ego into it, we'll never make it. So he said, first of all, you have to be honest and you have to be humble. And he tells this story of what he experienced in a recovery group of alcoholics and drug addicts in a little town in Minnesota. Max went and sat down in the hot seat. He said immediately, Murphy looked at him, and he was the counselor, the trainer who had worked with so many therapy groups like this. He looked at Max. He said, Max, how long have you been drinking like a pig?
That's coming up next here on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. If you're like a lot of people, you're busy with carpools, kids, chores, and work. Getting to hear the whole program without interruption is, well, a luxury. We're pleased to announce that right now you can find Dr. Young whenever you need him on the internet. Simply go to oneplace.com and you'll find the entire Winning Walk message waiting for you. Not only that, you'll find an archive of broadcasts from last week and the week before. That's oneplace.com, the premier provider of ministry content on the internet. And if you want, purchase an MP3 right on the spot. Take it with you. Hey, if you miss us here, catch us on the web at oneplace.com. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We'd like to send you a CD featuring today's message, as well as Dr. Young's booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life. This valuable resource pack helps you overcome whatever is holding you back from being the best Christian you can be. And it's also our gift to thank you for your donation to help The Winning Walk keep broadcasting the proven truth of God's Word on this station. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Now let's listen to more proven truth about breaking destructive habits.
The Ragamuffin Gospel, little book written by a man by the name of Brennan Manning. Manning himself was an alcoholic. He wrestled with alcoholism for many years. He tells a story in the Ragamuffin Gospel. And by the way, his thesis is that the only way anybody can be healed and helped in any area of addiction, any area of compulsive behavior, is to admit up front that you are a ragamuffin. If we take all of our arrogance and our ego into it, we'll never make it. So he said, first of all, you have to be honest and you have to be humble. And he tells this story of what he experienced in a recovery group of alcoholics and drug addicts in a little town in Minnesota. He said there were 25 men and women in the group. And he said they made a circle there and pulled up little folding chairs in a circle. And he put a chair in the middle. He said the man in charge was by the name of Murphy O'Connell. And he said O'Connell put the chair in the middle, called it the hot seat. And Murphy went out, he would pick someone to sit in the hot seat, and they would question him, a part of the recovery exercise in this addictive circle. And that day he said, Max, come and sit in the hot seat. And he said a man named Max, who was president of a company, highly educated, affluent, a lot of culture, a lot of poise, a lot of ego, Max went and sat down in the hot seat. He said immediately, Murphy looked at him, and he was the counselor, the trainer who had worked with so many therapy groups like this. He looked at Max. He said, Max, how long have you been drinking like a pig? He said, Max looked at him. He said, sir, I think you're overstating the case. I'm not like a lot of these others who are part of this therapy group. He said, I want you to know I resent that. He said, well, what I want to know is something about your drinking record. How long have you been tell me how much booze you drink. He says, well, I can tell you exactly how much I drink. He said, I go to work in the morning with a couple of guys. I have two Marys. He said, then before I go home at night, I always have two Martins. And Murphy said, well, what is a Mary and what is a Martin? He said, well, a Mary is a Bloody Mary, and this is how it's mixed up. And a Martin is a Martini, and this is how I like them dry, etc. And Murphy said, oh, we've got Mary Martin out of the way. Now, tell me what else you do as far as drinking. He says, well, I go home, and my wife, I've got her addicted to having two Martinis before our evening meal. He said, then what? He said, then before we go to sleep at night, we have two more Martinis. And so the counselor said, he said, now, I understand then you have 8 drinks a day. He said, that's right. I have 8 drinks a day. No more, no less every day. That's my total drinking pattern. And Murphy O'Connell looked at him and said, you're a liar. He said, sir, I'll have you know, I resent that. I built my business, my reputation on integrity. With that, he got out his pipe. He stuffed some tobacco in it, put it in his mouth and lit it in a sophisticated fashion. He says, I want you to know, I've never been so insulted in my life. I told you I have 8 drinks a day. I have 8 drinks a day, and my word is my bond. And one of the others in the therapy group said, Max, do you hide any liquor in your garage? He said, well, yes, I have cases and cases of liquor out. How much do you have out there, Max? Well, I have to replenish my bar. I have a case of gin, a case of vodka. I've got rye whiskey. I've got all kinds of liquor out there because I have a large bar in my home. He said, well, Max, do you ever put any liquor, by your bedside table, under your bed? Oh, no. And finally, after 20 minutes of examining, cross-examining, they pressured Max into admitting that he keeps a bottle there at his bedside table in case he coughs at night. He has a bottle in his medicine cabinet for medicinary purposes. He's got a bottle in his suitcase in case he goes off. He's got a couple of bottles in the desk of his office. Until finally, he still kept his cool. And Murphy O'Connor went and said, bring me a telephone. And they had the room wired where he took a telephone. And here's the therapy group all around him. And he dialed a number. And somebody answered the phone and said, Bar and Grill. They said, I want to speak to Al. And he said, this is Al speaking. He said, Al, are you the bartender? Yes. He said, I'm in a therapy group. And everybody could hear the telephone conversation. I'm in a therapy group with a man called Max. And I have permission, a signed affidavit, that you can tell me how much drinking he did in your bar. And he said, well, Max was such a good customer. You sure it's okay? He said, I have the affidavit right here in my hand. I'm trying to get a history of his drinking record. Shoot. And so the bartender said, well, you know, Max came in every day, and he spent about $30 or $40 with me and bought drinks for other people and tipped me a fin. He said, he's one of my best customers. He said, thank you very much, and he hung up. With that, Max went ballistic. Man, he began to curse the counselor. He'd called all the people in the group names. He just was all over them. He was violent, shaking his fist. He was almost on the verge of a convulsion. He just couldn't handle it. He would just went, wow, saying, what kind of deal? Until finally, he calmed down and regained his sophistication. And he was a nominal Christian, by the way. And he said, you know, they persecuted Jesus there when they were illegally selling pigeons in the church. I know how this feels. With that, one of the others there asked him a question. A guy named Fred said, Max, have you ever been unkind to your children? He said, unkind to my children? He said, I have 5 children, my 4 boys, 3 of them graduated from Harvard, and the third one is in his second year. He said, I didn't ask you that, Max. I wonder if you've ever been unkind to your children.
This is The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and we're listening to today's message, Hope for the Helpless. There's more teaching just ahead. Dr. Young wants to send you a CD containing his message from today, along with his powerful booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life. This special combo pack is our gift to thank you for your financial support of The Winning Walk on this station. So be sure to request these resources when you call with your donation, 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. There's more proven truth about breaking destructive habits coming up right after this short break. We're back with The Winning Walk and Dr. Ed Young. Our website is easy to find and loaded with resources you need, so please go to winningwalk.org for CDs, DVDs, books, and so much more. You can even find free streaming messages from Dr. Young and a place to send in your prayer request. Go to winningwalk.org. And then, while you're at the website, sign up for Dr. Young's free email devotional. Also, we're found on Twitter. You can follow us there for daily encouragement at Winning Walk. Now again, here's Dr. Young with proven truth about breaking destructive habits.
Max says, well, there was this incident with Debbie last December the 24th around Christmas, and there was a little thing there, but I don't want to talk about it. I said, oh, Max, tell us about it. He said, no, I don't remember. I don't want to talk. I'm not going to talk about it. It's none of your business. With that, Murphy O'Connor, the counselor, picked up a phone in the middle of the group and dialed a number. It was ringing back in Max's home back there. And so his wife picked up the phone. He said, this is Murphy O'Connor here. I'm with your husband, Max. We're in a therapy session here. We've asked him the questions. He's ever been unkind to his children. He said there was an incident last December 24th with his daughter, Debbie. Will you tell us about it? The wife was quiet for a moment and said, it's hard for me to talk about, but I remember it like yesterday. Said, Debbie, you know, she's 9 years old. She wanted a pair of Earth shoes. And Max, on Christmas Eve, said, I'll take you down. And said they went shopping, and he bought her the finest pair of Earth shoes in town. Paid $60 for them. And said as they were going back, she kissed him on the cheek and said, I've got the greatest daddy in the world. And she said, Max, in his euphoria, stopped by the cork and bottle and said, honey, you stay here. And he left the motor running and raised all the windows, said it was 12 degrees outside, a cold, blistery day. This was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And said, I'm going to run in here a minute. And his wife said he went in the bar. He got with some of his army buddies, forgot all about Debbie, began drinking, and he walked out of the bar at 12 o'clock at night. The car had run out of gas. When he got the frozen doors open of the car, Debbie was frostbitten on her hands and her ears. They rushed her through the emergency room of the hospital. The doctor took off the third finger, the pointing finger of her right hand and the thumb of her right hand. Then the wife, telling the story, couldn't talk anymore and got real quiet and said, Debbie will be deaf for the rest of her life. When this happened, Max, he fell to the floor in the fetal position, began to cry and moan and shriek and turn. And Murphy O'Connor said, let's get out of here. And they walked out. O'Connor went back to him and just kind of kicked him and rolled him over. He said, you are scum. Tough love. He said, we don't want a liar in this therapy unit. You get out through that window, through that door. Get out of here. I don't want to see you again. Max, later on in the day, begged to be reinstated. He got honest and he got humble. He admitted he was a ragamuffin, and God did a work in his life.
Thank you for joining us today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before we close, we want to send you a CD with today's message along with Dr. Young's powerful booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life. This special resource pack is our gift to you to thank you for your donation to help the Winning Walk broadcast stay strong on this station. So be sure to request your resources when you call with your gift today. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Tomorrow, Dr. Young brings you a message called Surrender, full of proven truth about surrendering your life to God. You don't want to miss this powerful half hour, so be sure to tune in Wednesday, right here, on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.